Psalms 106, chapter 106. Psalms 106. If you will, please turn there. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's a good way to start it out, isn't it? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We'll stop reading there and bow our heads and ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege tonight to say thank you and to praise your holy name for who you are. And, Lord, all the thanks that we could ever give, we never get it said. So tonight, humbly, we bow our heads, humble our hearts, and say thank you for all your blessings upon us. Thank you for Calvary. And thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to be in the house of God tonight, and for those who have blessed our hearts in singing, those who have come together to pray and hear the preaching of the Word of God. I pray tonight now, Lord, you speak to our hearts, and I realize, Lord, we need you to touch us. We need that divine illumination of the Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts that we may share the Word. And I pray for those in the house of God tonight that need to get right with you. You speak to their hearts and deal with their lives and help all of us be challenged and I pray the encouraged and you magnify yourself and get glory. I plead the blood of Jesus now. I ask for that divine touch and pray in Jesus' name for the move of God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalms 106, and we're going to take our text out of verse number 5. That I may see the good of the land, thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, I may glory with thine inheritance. Now, I realize the fact that we are talking and strict interpretation there of that verse of Israel. And God is talking about his nation, Israel. And Brother Brock mentioned about Israel tonight. And what he said is absolutely true. I pray that America will stay a friend to Israel. If we do not stay a friend to Israel, we're in a heap of trouble, sure enough. We're in a heap of trouble the way it is. But turning our back on Israel would just be that much more against our nation. And I pray God to help us to befriend Israel. And now we're going to, tonight, I'm going to give you a little introduction and try to get in the message and not be too lengthy with this. But I pray God speak to us and help us and realize this. Now, I'm going to use this as a type and picture of the church and God's people and those who are saved, whoever, instead of the nation of Israel. I am not a replacement theology. I do not believe that the church replaced Israel. That's not so. Israel has her promises. Israel is her nation. And no nation under heaven has ever come back like Israel did. In 1948, flew her flag and hadn't done that, hadn't been a nation except under the control of others since 70 A.D. But she's a nation tonight because of the grace of God and the prophecy of God and God doing what God said he would do with his people, Israel. So I'm not taking anything away from Israel. Don't mean to do that. But I do see something in verse number 5. I was reading several days ago and that seemed to jump out at me, and I got to thinking about it, and I hope God will let me share a little bit of that with you. But this chapter starts out, praise ye the Lord. And if you'll notice the last verse of it says, praise ye the Lord, in the very last phrase. He starts with praise, he ends with praise, Here in the five verses that I read, he's talking about the salvation of the Lord and some blessings of that salvation in verse number 5. But verse number 6, basically to the end of the chapter until he gets down to the last praise, and he's talking about repentance. He's dealing with a sin of rehearsing about Israel and many things. Look in verse number 6, we have sinned. Verse 7, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. Verse number 8, nevertheless he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power be known. Verse number 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. That reminds you of anything today. Soon forgot about what God did and didn't wait for him. Verse number 15, and he gave them their request, but seemed leanness unto their soul. Remember, they murmured in the wilderness about the manna. I believe Brother Tim preached about manna here, a type of the Lord Jesus. And they murmured about that, got tired of that. And how can you get tired? As he said of the Lord Jesus. And certainly not that. But they asked for meat, and he gave them quail till they come. He said, I'll give it to you, runs out your nose. I'll give it to you, get sick of it. And he gave them quail. And quail came, they plucked quail, stood and grabbed quail, plucked quail, ate quail. But he gave them leanness of their soul. And so we need to remember that. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. You say, nobody does that today. Be surprised who worships gold molded images today. And be surprised what images are. And I don't have time to go into all that. Just simply say, our nation is an idol worshiping nation if you come right down to it. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. And verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior. And verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not, now I want you to get a hold of this verse, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. He said God would have destroyed Israel had not Moses stood in the breach. And you remember the story how Moses prayed, said, spare them. If you're not spare them, let me destroy me too. Let me be lost. Let me be taken out of thy book. God said, not so. Can't do that. But that's what he's so desired for his people that he was willing to say that. Paul said the same thing about his people. He said, I'd be accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh. And you and I tonight, we need to get some burden about souls going to hell without God, our people, and stand in the breach and pray for them. Verse 25. But he said, verse 24, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured. And so they did. Look at verse 37. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Land was polluted with blood. And we have abortions on every hand today. Our land's a land of bloodshed. And innocent blood, children blood been shed. And we think it's awful in that day they sacrificed unto idols their children. And in our land, we're doing the same thing today. May God help us. Amen. May God have mercy upon us. And we need help. And so we see that. Look at verse 43. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him more with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. He said many times he delivered them. He helped them. They cried to him. He'd help them. But look at verse 44, and I want you to get a hold of this. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And God got a hold of my heart. Just a few minutes ago, I looked at that verse and thought, praise God. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and he remembered them for them his covenant. And repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He said he heard them when they cried in their affliction. And then he remembered his covenant with them. And so he said they'd be his people. And he remembered that covenant. And he would not forsake them. I'm glad, praise God, there's a blood covenant we've got. Amen. And he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And we may falter by the way. We may stumble. And we may mess up here and there, but I'm glad God will not leave us. And he's not going to forsake us. Heard their cry when they cried. And because of his mercies. And look at verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord. And he just rehearsed all that God's done. And then he rehearsed their sin, their corruption, the bad shape they were in. But then he said, God remembered his covenant. And God heard their cry. And God delivered it. And said, praise the Lord for his mercies. And praise him. And so tonight, we and I need to do that. Now back to verse number 5. And I want to share that with you tonight quickly. These three things that are mentioned here in verse number 5. In verse 4, the last part of that verse, last phrase of that verse says, oh, visit me with thy salvation. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved and born in the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. And I'm not going to hell. I'm not lost. I'm not without God. I'm one of God's children. I belong to his family. I'm redeemed by his blood. I'm in a blood covenant with him. And he said, I'll make you my child. Holy Ghost will come to abide within you. And we'll abide forever with you. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God. God made a covenant with Israel. And said, I'll bring you back in the last days. I'll make you a nation. All nations will come against you. But that be a day. I'll come and I'll set up my kingdom and rule and reign with you. I say, hallelujah, that's coming. But the rapture got to take place first. But when the rapture takes place, he's only looking for his saved people. He said, now that's salvation. Now, he said three things about that I may see the good of the thy chosen. Now, we know Israel is God's chosen people, but I said we're going to go, we realize that. We know the strict interpretation of this. But I'm looking at it as saved people in God's family. He said that I may, now look at it, that I may see the good of thy chosen. I don't let that word chosen mess you up. I want you to know that we are the chosen of God. Amen. Chosen from the foundation of the world, in fact. And you say, preacher, you ought not preach like that. You sound like a hyper-Calvinist. I'm not hyper-Calvinist. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I like what Dr. H.A. Arnside said about that. Outside the door it says, whosoever will, let him come. Get on the inside and look back. It says, the elect of God. Amen. How you reconcile the two? It's not up to me to reconcile. God said he's reconciling the world unto himself. And he does the reconciling. I'm just enjoying the blessing of it. Amen. And by the way, let me plug this in right here. Anytime you're talking about election or chosen or predestination, always remember this. And by the way, predestination has to do with God's people. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Amen. It had nothing to do with salvation. That's of those who are saved. But chosen and election, that kind of thing, I want you to know. You have to remember the foreknowledge of God. God knows everything from beginning to end. He knew he'd give me a choice, and he knew what choice I'd make. But that did not change the fact that I had a choice to make. And you in this building tonight, it doesn't change the fact you have a choice to make, even though God knows what choice you're going to make. He knows everything. You can't surprise God with anything because God knows everything. And I get excited about that. Amen. And you say, preacher, I can't understand that. Well, let me ask you another question. God, where did he come? You hear sometimes people ask you, where did he come from? God didn't come from anywhere. God's always been, but preacher, I can't be. Because I can't, with my little mind, I can't believe, I can't understand, I can't explain somebody or something that didn't come from somewhere. But God didn't come from anywhere because God just is. And you say, preacher, I can't. God's ways not our ways, his thoughts not our thoughts. He's God, we're the creature, he's the creator. That's why we worship and adore him. He deserves all the glory and all the praise. And you can't reconcile all that in your little old feeble mind. But I'm glad it's real. I'm chosen. I got on that chosen. I got to get off of that. Amen. But I'm glad I'm chosen in him. Amen. I have eternal life in him because I'm of the chosen. But let me say this. He said that I may. Now notice that I may see the good of the chosen. Now what he's saying, I believe is this. He said the good of the chosen, Israel. Now, he's talking about Israel, but I won't go into all that about Israel, but I'm telling you tonight, we got a lot of the Bible from them, amen? And the Savior came through them, hallelujah. But let me tell you what happened. The Gentiles in the church and the saved people today, I look around, I see some good of thy people. Thy chosen. I see some chosen around here tonight. Some that got saved. Some of you used to be drunks. Amen. Some of you used to be harlots. And some of you used to be messed up on drugs and drug addicts. And some of you used to be just church members but lost without God and going to hell in a mess. Had religion but didn't have God. Amen. But I see tonight what God's done for you. Amen. I want to see the good in the land of the chosen. I want to see what God's done. Amen. God didn't save you and just leave you like you was. When God saved you, he made a change in you. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. I'm glad, praise God, I'm chosen in him from the foundation of the world. But when I got saved, I looked around, I saw the people of God and the chosen of God and found out, hey, some good. Hey, some things happened in their life. Hey, amen. They changed their love. They changed what they did. They changed where they went. They changed fountains they drunk from. Hallelujah. They changed what they did on Saturday nights. They changed what they did on Sunday mornings. And they just, praise God. Aren't you glad you're a part of that? Aren't you glad you look around and see that? Hey, glory to God. We're lights in the world. Amen. And Jesus, when he's here, he said he's the light. And he's gone away now. He said, ye are the light of the world. And the world sees Jesus in us or they don't see him. And so tonight, we need to be shining lights for the Lord Jesus. And by the way, you remember when Gideon out there had his 300 men circling the enemy? And the light did not shine until the vessel it was in was broken. And you and I tonight need to be broken vessels for the glory of God to let the light shine. That's another message for another time. But may God help us. Moses stood in the breach for his people. May God help us break and have such a burden for souls and such a burden for our church and such a burden to see God do something for our land that we will let God help us. Amen. Number two. In verse number five. He said that I may see the good of thy chosen. I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. He said there's some joy in that nation. They got some promises that's real. And there's some joy they're looking forward to. You think about it when Jesus comes back and sets up a kingdom, rules and reigns from Jerusalem. What joy, what joy. Hallelujah. Angels sing that night, Jesus born, what joy. But I'm glad tonight there's some joy in the family of God. Amen. That nation, the family of God, those who are saved and rejoice in his goodness. Tonight, as we rejoice, well, God forbid our glory save in the cross, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I'm telling you, I'm glad for the cross of Calvary. I'm glad I'm saved. I want to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And I got to thinking about this thing, and over in Luke chapter 15, and that sheep got lost, you remember? And the shepherd went hunting for him and found him. And when he got the sheep back, he called his friends together and said, rejoice with me. I found my sheep that was lost. Amen. I praise God. The corn got lost and the lady found it. And she brought it back home and called her friends and said, rejoice with me. I found that which was lost. Amen. That prodigal son came home and the father said, kill the fatty calf. We're going to rejoice and have a party here. Amen. That was lost is found. And dead made alive. And I say glory to God. I'm glad. Amen. I'm in a crowd of folk that have some joy inside. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Without joy, we don't have any strength. But I'm glad we can have some joy in the midst of whatever's happening around us. Whatever Washington, D.C. does doesn't change what God did in my heart one bit. It doesn't change heaven one bit. It doesn't change Jesus one bit. It doesn't take any power out of the blood of Jesus. It doesn't change any of the things. We can come to church tonight, have a good time, tell the devil we love Jesus, amen, and go on and shout glory, hallelujah. I'm saved by the grace of God. You're saved, amen. We got something to rejoice about and to praise God about. And I want to say to you tonight, may God help us to have joy inside. Remember the joy. I like that. Let me have thy salvation so I can look around and see the good of thy nation, the thy chosen, and I want to rejoice with the gladness of thy nation. Those two things I want, don't you? But then he goes to the third thing, and he says, that I may glory with thine inheritance Now, I want you to get a hold of this. He said, thine inheritance. Now, I got an inheritance in him. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. But did you know I'm his inheritance? And you think about you're his inheritance. And you say, he doesn't have much. Oh, you wait till he gets finished with you. Amen. You wait till he gets a job. Now, he's already finished as far as paying the price. Salvation through. But he's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with me yet. And when he gets through with us, and that bride's presented yonder in glory, hallelujah, she'll be just right. There'll be no blemish in her. There'll be no spot anywhere. Hey, we're not going to be anything wrong. I say, hallelujah. Amen. I can get over the fact of being his inheritance to start with, but then he said, I may glory with, not in, but with thine inheritance. And so tonight, if we are saved people, his inheritance, I'm going to glory with God's inheritance. And we're going to glory together and glorify the Lord Jesus. Where glory means something that is worthy of exaltation and praise. And that's where Jesus is. God forbid I glory save in the cross. I mentioned a while ago. I want you to know tonight, and I preach a message sometimes out how to give God glory. I'm glad, praise God, to be in that crowd that glorifies the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to give him glory. He deserves all the glory, all that we'll ever give him. Amen. And Psalms 29, verse number 2, talks about this, and he said, trying to think how it starts out. Well, I'll get it. Turn back to it. Chapter 29, verse number 2. I think that's where it is. I'm sure it is, yeah. Here it is. Give, well, let me back up to verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hey, give God glory. Worship. Worship him. Amen. You remember Joshua over there in Joshua 5 when he went around Jericho and he met that one from God. I believe a theophany appearance of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. And he fell down and at his feet and worshiped him and said, what do you have thy servant to do? Lord, what do you have this servant to do? He didn't say, now how are we going to take Jericho? He didn't say, how are we going to make those walls fall? He didn't say, how in the world is this crowd out here I've got that don't know anything about warfare? How are we going to fight that crowd out there in that great city? How are we going to take it? That was his, that's what he's out there studying first. He's out there looking at Jericho trying to figure out how to take it. But then the Lord showed up. He wasn't worried about Jericho anymore. He'd worried, what does the captain of the Lord's host want? What do you say? He said, I'm your servant, and I'm going to worship. And he said, pull your shoe off. You know what Joshua did? Pulled the shoe off and said he did so. He didn't say my feet stink. He didn't say my socks got a hole in it. He didn't say, I don't see any reason for that. It doesn't make any sense why I would pull my shoe off. That won't help me take Jericho. It doesn't make any sense about that. Hey, he didn't ask any of that. He just simply did what God said. It'd be good. Hey, give God glory by worship. If you ever really worship God, you'll be saying, Lord, what do you have me do? He won't be saying, Lord, I'm going to do this now, bless it. He'll be, Lord, what will you have me to do? And those mountain things we see in front of us, it looks so big. It won't be so big after all. It'll be, Lord, I want you to tell me what you want me to do. And so we'll see that. Then confess sin. Remember Joshua chapter number 7, verse 19. When Joshua was dealing with Achan and the sin of Achan, what he did. He said, give glory to the God of Israel and make confession unto him. I say, hallelujah. How do you give glory to God? Confess your sin. We don't like that at all in this day and time. Amen. That's what God said. He'd give God glory if we just confess up. Amen. And confess our sin. So let me encourage you tonight. God deal with your heart. God deal with your life. I'm not interested in all your dirty laundry, but I'm just interested in you confessing to God your sin and getting it right with God. And we got some folk here that need to get right with God. Just get right with God. Amen. Confess up and get right with God. Tell God about it. And let God help you. It doesn't make a difference who you are, where you're from, what anything about that. Amen. Just get right with God and let God help you. God will help you if we'll let him help us. He will. And so we need to see that and let him do that and give him glory. We pray in Jesus' name in John 14:13. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that Father may be glorified in the Son. How do you give God glory? Pray in Jesus' name. Hey, when we pray, we all pray in Jesus' name. There's not anybody else can intercede for us. There's no other mediator but Jesus. And so we need to pray in Jesus' name. I'm going to bring it to a close in a minute, but I want to give him glory. I'll praise his name. Amen. I'm part of his salvation. I'm part of that inheritance. And I'm with him, and I want to get in on the glory, giving him glory with it. Amen. And giving him glory. And I praise his name for it. And then when we believe God, it gives him praise. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20, talking about Abraham, he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I say hallelujah. He's going to have a child, past age to have a child. But God said you would, and he did. And he was giving God glory when he believed God. If we just believe God, Moses went up there and stood between God and the people. I believe he believed that God would do something. But he said, God, if you're not, I'm willing to die and go to hell. If you want to help my people, that's a burden we need. That's the kind of praying we need to do. But when we're praying for people to get saved and praying for people to come to church, and Miss Rhonda back there mentioned about people coming to church, we need to pray and believe God is going to do something. And she mentioned about getting discouraged sometimes when we pray and nothing happens. We pray and nothing happens. Just keep on praying and believing that our God hears us when we pray. If we're not regarding iniquity in our hearts, he'll hear us and he'll help us and he'll do that. And then bearing fruit, John 15:8, hearing my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so we give God glory. But I want you to look with me, please, in Psalms 96 and verse number 8. Just turn back in your Bible, Psalm 96. Verse number 8, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. And come into his courts. Hey, give God glory. Bring an offering. Come to his courts. Come to his house. Amen. Did you know it gives God glory every time you pick up your Bible and walk out the door? Head toward the house of God. Every time you walk in the door, it gives God glory. Every time you reach in your pocket and put something on, it gives God glory. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Amen. And I rejoice in those things. I praise God we can give God glory. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, verse number 4, oh, visit me with thy salvation. Got to have salvation. That I may see the good of all thy chosen. I may rejoice in thy gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. I say glory, hallelujah. God help us. We certainly have something to be thankful for and to praise God. But you that are not saved tonight, you that know not the Lord Jesus, you that got something wrong in your heart, I pray God will speak to you. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege. Open the word of God and share that precious word. Lord, I'm so glad to be a part of thy salvation. So glad there's joy in that salvation. I'm thankful, Lord, there's some good changes been made in lives because of that salvation. And Lord, we joy and praise your name in it. And then we glory, give you praise. That ascribed glory, Lord, help us. We know you're gloriously God regardless, but help us to ascribe that glory to you. Give you glory in our lives. Day by day. Thank you. Now tonight, speak to hearts, deal with lives, draw people unto thyself. In Jesus' name, amen.